Let's move forward. Take out the document. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time, page 18. Oh my God. Everybody says scripture distinctions.
Scripture distinctions.
Actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Oh, if you learn this, it's going to put you on easy street. No, I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems. That would be contradictory to the Word of God. The Word of God states and it teaches us, amen, even in the Old Testament, corroborates it. There are problems, there are troubles. Everybody in here this morning, you're having some challenge. Anywhere between the womb and the tomb, you are encountering something. But this knowledge puts us on easy street. It's you've ever watched a game, a movie, amen, and I guess everybody's watched the movie, probably everybody haven't watched the games, everybody's not into sports. But knowing the outcome of something, the first time you saw it, you were all in suspense. You can't tell me that you can watch that thing and then sit down the second time and have the same anxiety and suspense that you had watching it the first time.
No way.
And the difference was the second time as you watched it, you knew the outcome.
Uh-huh.
You knew, my God,
uh-huh.
Y'all don't hear me.
Uh-huh.
You knew what was going to happen.
Sure.
Amen. And the final analysis of things, not only do we know what is going to happen, which really means what is going to manifest,
right.
Amen. Our gospel takes us up into the vertical stream, and we're able to look down upon this, and having the eternal view, you know the eternal outcome. And the only thing that really counts, and that really, 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 really matters, it's the eternal outcome. Now, we're not saying that what's happening from day to day has no meaning, is not important. I always have to stop and say that. Someone go the other way with this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. No, 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 no. But having an eternal view takes the suspense and the anxiety over the things that are daily manifesting in your life. Amen. So no matter what's going down, you know that these are proceedings that are sequenced for the purpose of testimony. And regardless of what's going on, you know that in the end you're covered.
Sure.
Oh my God. Isn't that something? Now, let's go to this section, page 16, I think it is. Anyway, it's all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. Turn to that section. It may, some of, we have several printings of this, so just either 16, 17, 18, somewhere around in there, all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. This is where we stopped the last time we were before you. Amen. Everybody repeat after me, all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. Amen. So when we say what is possible, we have to define what that means. Basically, that the Greek word there that is used anytime you see that word, amen, you have a Greek word, thenate, which basically the root word is thenatos, which basically means enabled. So when you say what is possible, we really mean what is enabled. What is enabled? The possibility, what is the enablement of it? What is the enablement of it? It's an adjective. Amen. So what is capacitated? What is... what is capable, what has been capable. Amen. In Luke 18:27, in corroboration, Lord said, the things which are impossible with men, that which is the impossible with men, are possible with God. Amen. Because He is the only one that has the capacity and the capability to enable something. Amen. It's not, you say, well, we're going to do this because we want to stay safe. Amen. I'm not saying don't lock your doors at night and this kind of thing and so forth and so on. But except in the Old Testament, it tells us, except the Lord keepeth the city, what?
Watchmen watches
in vain. Amen. Some say we get in this country, we have a strong military force. This is what keeps us safe. No, it's not. Amen. Who was any more powerful than the Roman army? Amen. But the scripture teaches us, the Lord, He raises what up? And then what? He takes them down. It's not about how strong we are and how mighty we are. Amen. It's the essence of what God has decreed and planned concerning us. And let's deal with things that are possible. We're going to talk about possibilities this morning, but we're going to talk about them in different spheres. We're going to talk about the possibilities of the enablement as decreed in eternity, and the possibilities or enablements as they are manifested in time. Amen. Look at the difference between the two. Amen. And hopefully we'll learn to keep our eyes always in the eternal sphere. Amen. Things that are possible, things that are plausible. Amen. Definition-wise, possibility, as we said, speaks of things that deals with capacity, ability, and capacitation, and that which we have a word, potent. Amen. Basically, it means that which is. Amen. We say to be, all right, in the manifestation mode, you may use that word. As it relates in eternity, nothing is to be. Everything is. Not only is, it was in relationship to what? To where we are in time. To where we are in time. Amen. Time is a creation of God. We're in a time capsule. Everything that is going on and transpiring, amen, is for God's purpose of testimony. But there isn't anything that's not already existing. Amen. God is not in the process of creating. He created. It is a completed action. Amen. God's not in the business each day of even saving. Salvation is a done deal. I was going through this with the young people this morning in Sunday Bible school, and I was just showing them, even back in the Old Testament, Solomon speaking about the essence of him being chosen, amen, that is anointed, put forth before the earth, amen. God possessed him as the first fruit of his works. Amen. Oh, my God. The first thing on the agenda. Oh, my God. I think that's around Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, and corroborated. Amen. Corroborating Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Amen. According as he did what? Chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world. So that is already capacitated. It is. Amen. Is it possible for me to be saved? You are saved.
Right.
It is. Oh my God, that's the most potent thing that you can view or know and understand. And so as we look into these, try to move a little faster this morning, amen. Oh, my God. I said, well, when are you going to get through part one? We get through when we get through. Amen. There's so much here that we need to come to comprehend as we try to assimilate these truths and what is conveyed. Amen. And so as we look at things that are possible, amen, let's turn to, let's see, who is our, Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Elder, let's turn to 1 Corinthians and everyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 6. Amen. Possible. What is possible? What is enabled? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, amen. All things are enabled for you. Take this cup from me. But if not my will, our will, but your will. Amen. Here in testimony of those things that have been enabled. So as we look at possibilities of things that are possible, amen, if it were possible, amen, that the hour may pass from him in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we face some things, amen, our petition may be, Lord, if it has been enabled, take this thing away. Amen. Oh, my God. But nevertheless, and the key is, what is? If it is, it's no use to me petitioning for it not to be. Amen. So what I'll petition for is, yes, Lord, take it away. Amen. But if it is, then that's what it is, and we say amen to your will. And this will take a lot of drama out of your lives if you come to understand these things. Now in the heavenlies, there are things that the basic enablement of possibilities are clearly defined in the word of God. Hebrews 10 and 4 is not enabled that the blood of bulls, oxen, and male goats to remove sins. Amen. And it speaks of us having been blessed in the heavenlies, the spiritual blessings, in the heavenlies in Christ. Amen. These are the possibilities of the enablements in the eternal sphere of what God has already not only enabled, but he has conveyed this information to us. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it speaks of God having raised up Jesus, amen, of him whom God did raise up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not enabled for him to be held down by it. Amen. Oh, my God. So he is alive this morning. That is another enablement. Amen. That has been conveyed to us. So what we should start from is the essence of salvation. Of salvation. We are... have been enabled, the enablement of us having been placed in the body of Christ. Amen. You were placed in the body of Christ in eternity. So the enablement, the essence of the testimony of what God has already done for you. Now that's not going to mean too much to some who don't really appreciate the essence of what life consists of. The essence of life is your eternal state rather than your earthly state. The essence of who you are is you in the body of Christ, spiritually, some position in the body of Christ in eternity. before creation. Amen. That carries more weight than who you are encapsulated in these bodies passing through the terrain of time. Amen. And as we were dealing in Bible study Friday night, Apostle Paul, speaking of the things that he was going to, he called them momentarily light affliction. Why they light, Paul? Because it's not long. We gave the crude example of I was telling them that, you know, Lord has delivered me from the fear of death, but he has not delivered me from the fear of pain. It's like you're taking a shot or something. Amen. I was talking to the nurse, and before I knew it, she had popped me. Amen. It was painful, but it was quick. So whatever you're going through, it may be painful, but it's quick in comparison. Oh, y'all hear me?
I hear you.
In comparison.
In comparison. In comparison to eternity, the pains of time are not worthy. They're light because they're quench.
Yeah.
I said, oh, Pastor, I've been going through this a long time. In comparison. He said, well, I'm tired of this thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh, as you go through, if we can just learn. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Right.
And then as we move in, yeah, I'm going to put a little Bible study in here because some of you weren't there. So the next verse there, that's verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Next verse 8, he says, for, and he uses there a coordinating conjunction to further explicate the illustration he's made. He said, for the things that we are looking at, that is the things that we are seeing, are what? Are temporary. Temporary. And the things that we are not seeing, they're what?
Eternal.
They're eternal. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And so, basically, our main focus of looking at things should be in the eternal sense rather than the temporary sense of time. Amen. Oh, my God. Now, I have no trepidation and worry. That might sound strange. The Word of God is saying it, and that's what it is. You know, earlier as we was reading the pastor's pen, I'm gonna read this out of it again. Mental snapshots invariably induce problems in the sense of their unreliability. What are mental snapshots? Mental snapshots, things that we are beholding with the natural eyes and the natural perception. Amen. They're unreliable in adequately defining a measuring manifestation fields because they simply copy perceptions that may at times be flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What you think you see and what you think you're looking at
right.
might not be
right.
not that might not be that. It just may not be. It might not be. It could be the very opposite in some sense of what we think we see. So we start off on the basis of resting in the eternal sphere of those things that God has conveyed to us. And it's from that plateau, amen, that we put in the DVD and watch the proceedings of what's going on in our lives. How about that? Huh? See? And we know what the end is. Amen. So we may go through some generations, but we're not going to go through all of them.
Right.
Oh, my God. Now, as we look at this, all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. Everybody got it? All right, now I said, Pastor, we're going through this over and over again. One thing my pastor taught me a long time ago, amen, teaching is 90% what?
Repetition.
It doesn't hurt to go, especially when we're dealing with the Word of God. You say, well, we've been through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 before. There's never any scripture, amen, and directive in the Bible that you graduate. You don't have to go through that anymore. Doesn't work that way. That might work through some things in this life, but that doesn't work with the Word of God. All right? Because we must do what? No. What did Hebrews tell us? The things that we see? Huh? In concerning the things that we hear. Huh? We must hear them over and over again. Lee said, at any time they get away from us. Isn't that what the scriptures teach us? Amen. All right? All possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. One of the most intriguing questions that can be posed is God the impetus of all possibilities or enablements? And if so, are all enablements or possibilities actualized in God? In general, most of the discussion involving these questions reverberate around the technical metaphysical issues more than the scriptures declaration of what it is. But rather than engage these diverse philosophical and theological discussions, we won't participate in that, surrounding physiological processes, focusing on what is, why is, and how can, we must comprehend that the prevailing thinking should not be how does God relate to us. And this is not the central to the process of why things are, why, how things happen, and I was again telling young folk this morning, it's not a matter of something happening in your life because you did something and God's mad at you, and so he's retaliating. You know, that's Old Testament language. And of course, it's like looking back from the 21st century now and seeing that the plague that went through Europe in the 13th century was carried by the rats. Mm-hmm. Amen, huh? The church was persecuting people at the time. They didn't know any better because they were trying to stamp out the evil, because somebody went back in the Old Testament and read, if you do wrong, amen, God's going to retaliate. And not understanding that we're all depraved. If God was going to retaliate against us, we'd all been wiped out a long time ago. Amen. So it's not that. But possibilities, so it's not how God relates to us. But God has a purpose and God has a program. God has a design. Amen. And so the focus is not on us. The focus is on him. So when the scriptures are diligently searched, the metaphysical status of eternal objects is obviously not so. Amen. What we're saying here, everybody say eternal objects. That's what it is, and that which is decreed, that which is established in God's decree. Amen. It's not assessed in a metaphysical state. Amen. Oh my God. That which is physical is expressed and it is manifested as such simply for the purpose of testimony. Amen. God is spirit. God is not what, when he materialized things for the purpose of manifesting them to us. The essence of God is spirituality,
right,
not physicality. Y'all don't hear me.
Amen.
But nevertheless,
yes,
these questions do have some spiritual importance as we ask how is, why is, and certain. Now, the crux of reasoning in the doctrine of eternal objects, everybody say eternal objects again, is their annihilation. Eternal objects annihilates the importance of what we do in of ourselves in time. Amen. And what are you saying, Pastor? Well, what we do is not important. No, that's not what we're saying. Amen. It is part of God's process. Amen. But it has no influential influence on what God has already purposed, designed, and determined by His decree. Amen. Oh my God, we're just going along for the ride. Huh? All things have already been decreed. So eternal objects are what they are, and they were formed before the foundation of the world. So what's happening now has no influential effect upon what God has predetermined. Now, election doctrine, election. We spent a year and a half on the doctrine of election and ministering some years ago. When we first started here, one of the things we had to get straight was that God chose us. So that you understand the enablement of all things. The focus has got to be on God and not on us. So the election doctrine certifies that God has eternally accomplished all that creatures are believed to contribute to God. That is, if every enablement or possibility in all its detail is already established in God's decree, what difference does it make that these enablements or possibilities are exemplified in creation? Except what? As testimony to the praise of God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. Everybody turn there. We're going to go through a little exercise here. Each day as we live, we're out here, we're doing things, and we're planning things, and some of them that we plan manifest and others don't. And strange that mankind think that the ones that do manifest are through his efforts. And then he is frustrated with the peace that don't manifest. Amen. You know. So maybe I'm just speak of God's people this morning. We're frustrated. Frustrated because we're trying to do things and we're planning things and quote, it ain't happening. and here's the key to it. It can't happen unless it's been ordained. You can try, you can cry, you can pray, you can fast. You can fret.
Right.
You can lose your mind. That's not going to make it happen.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. You see, the manifestation follows the decree.
That's
right. And the decree is an eternal object
that
has been enabled. And that thing can manifest any more than how what? It has been decreed. So you're out there, you're planning things. But you're not dependent upon what you planned. You operate at the design and plan and decree of God. We don't really have agendas. We have imagined itineraries, but they do not form agendas. Somebody say, "I got an agenda." Well, then why do you have to change it so much, huh? Oh my God! If we really understand what an agenda is, huh? This agenda is set. If you're changing it, we've changed the agenda. You don't change God's agenda. And God has an agenda. All right? Elder, you got that? Everybody got it? That is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with the 5th verse.
Everybody got it? Say amen. All right, read it slowly, Elder.
Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Verse 6. And it may be that I will abide yet and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go.
Verse 7 and 8.
For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit.
Verse 8.
But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost.
Let's hurry up and get to the Greek. Now, let's follow the reading if you don't have the interlineal. Elder, very slowly. Verse 5.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with the 5th verse in the Greek text. And I will come to you whenever. Macedonia. Macedonia. I pass through for Macedonia. I am passing through.
All right. The proper exegesis of this Zeus ample explication. Follow me now. I hope I don't lose anyone this morning. I'm praying that I don't. I will come to you when I, whenever I pass through, or when I pass through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia. Now, what are you saying, Paul? Here we exegete using the grammar. Here we have a causative conjunction here, fair. We have a little technical here, but y'all follow with me now. Come on, just hang with me here. And it links a statement. Amen. The statement is evlepsome pro emos, rendered, I will come unto you. Here we link that statement to the gleanings of the antecedent context verse. Now, for the sake of time, I can't go all the way back to the beginning, nor how this, for context's sake, this starts out with Paul. Listen, follow me now. He's speaking, he's writing to them in this passage concerning collections that Paul had requested, and it was ordered by the Lord, of all of the churches that they would contribute to the needs of the poor saints in Jerusalem. Now, you know the story of that going back there, you know, and of course you got the transition. Remember now the Kingdom Church, which basically is on hold now because we're in the dispensation of grace and the grace churches. But that was a transition, and they had taken collections. And remember how they had sold everything and had everything in common. They were looking for the imminent coming of Christ, and some call it a act of indiscretion. And I've heard theologians talk about this. No, they did what was decreed. He said, well, if they hadn't been stupid, they wouldn't have been poor, because here they took all of their money and they pooled it because they were looking for the Lord to come, and so they shut down economically and it hunted them the rest of their life, and that was an act of indiscretion. No, it wasn't. It was decreed.
Okay.
Amen. And so in your life, if and when you do something and you say, if I hadn't done this, that wouldn't have happened. No, it wasn't.
Amen.
That thing, there's nothing else could have happened but what happened. It's if I hadn't done this or done that and the other, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have lost my job, and You know, this person out here on the job, they would give me a fit, and they conspired, and they got rid of me. Amen. And if that hadn't happened, and so forth and so on, and you here going through all of those changes, oh, my God, if God help us to know that if you are who God has made you, you are certainly where God has placed you.
All right. That's it.
He didn't stop at just choosing you and placing you in the body of Christ.
Glory.
Everything concerning you is designed, mapped out, and laid out.
Yo, glory. Yeah.
Not some things, everything.
Thank God.
Everything concerning you. There isn't anything concerning you that God,
glory,
amen, hasn't designed. It's the design of God.
It doesn't
go on the basis of what you, amen, have done to cause something to happen.
Yeah.
Now the scriptures basically conveys that to us. There's no such thing as I did this, and if I hadn't done this, that wouldn't have happened.
Glory to God. Thank God.
It happened because it was decreed to happen. And that's the difference between understanding actualization and eternal objects versus the testimony, amen, and manifestation of those things that transpire, amen, according to God's purpose,
yes,
amen. It is tied and geared to the eternal object of what is.
Glory.
Follow this now. When you look at this and you understand the essence of it, they were the first day of the week, and some take this as the doctrine, and I ain't going to have a chance to get into that today. That was the custom, and I think it's a good custom, especially since the society basically gives everybody the day off on Sunday. It's the most logical day today to meet, right?
Huh?
But there's nothing magical. Because remember, I got to say, you don't esteem one day over the other. But the first day they were to collect the money, and then Paul said, you appoint somebody to take it, and you notice here, amen, Paul said, you raise it, and you appoint somebody to take it, and if you want me to, I'll go with them. I have them to go with me because I've got a trip that's planned here, amen. And Paul said, I ain't touching no money. I'm just paraphrasing. That should be a hint to some of the ministers and pastors. Huh? Amen. You all wonder why I go hands free? They're like, no, you don't mix the two. Here's what Paul was saying. But here we're dealing this morning with an agenda. And he says, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia. I will come to you. Follow this now. Here we have a Greek verb. Why are we doing this? Amen. Because there's a difference whether you are saying a thing might happen, will happen, or has happened.
Yeah.
So what we want to know is what did he say? What did he really convey? What is the scripture really conveying? So what are you saying, Paul? Here we have the Greek verb, alosome, will come. It's an indicative mood and a future tense. What is the indicative mood? The fact. What is the future tense? The future. So, how could that be a future fact? It's not a fact until it happens, right? Huh?
Come on, come on.
It is if it is an eternal object.
Glory.
If it's decree. So it must be tied to God's decree. Follow me here.
Yeah.
I will come to you. It is an indicative mood in the future tense, taking its inference, a future fact, from the certainty of the previous expressions. Paul's conveyance is, I propose to come unto you. He had apparently expected on a previous occasion to see them on his way to Macedonia, but on some account had been induced to abandon that design. As we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, we're not going to go there today, amen. But you remember, Paul was writing to them, and he says, now when God says something, it's what? Yea, yea. He said, now, don't y'all throw stones at me, because I said I was coming, I thought I was coming. Amen. So, but with me, as with all men, is yea, nay. Amen. It may be yea, yea, but it may be yea, nay. In other words, I might say I'm going to do something, but if that thing has not been enabled, if it's not an eternal object, it doesn't happen.
That's it. Amen.
You know. Follow this. In this conveyance, Paul is convinced, as he's speaking now, that the planning in this instance fully aligns with the decree of God, as he conveys the indicative present by expression, for I'm going through Macedonia. Thus, this design was his present intention due to some cause in the past, his previous writing. He had abandoned his original plan of passing through Corinth on his way to Macedonia, yet he had confidence in the design itself as it was still his intention to go there. Now, follow this. The scripture reasoning of what really appears in this way is the difference between the possible and the actual. Remember, the possible is what? The enabled and the actual. In terms of the indefiniteness and definiteness of occurrences. Follow. As viewed in human thinking, possibilities, that's the way we view possibilities because we don't define it right, are enablements, are vague and nonspecific. So when we say something is possible, or with the possibilities of things, we are not really honing in on what is. We're using our human conceptions of what might be. So when we say possibilities, we're saying what might possibly be.
Amen.
But you see, eternal objects are not structured in that way. Follow me. On the other hand, actualities are exactly what they are. In other words, the eternal objects are exactly what they are. In that case, they will all be actualized in God. Hence, there cannot be any distinguishing of actuality and possibility exclusively in that way. Now, what are you saying, preacher? When it comes to us, we have no grips on actuality before they are manifested. Now, we're talking about in the time capsule. Not in eternity now. In eternity, we have a grips on eternal life in Christ. Do we not? We have a grips on salvation, being saved, being a member of the body of Christ, dwelling in our glorified bodies, being safe and secure. Some of us, anyway. Being safe and secure in Him. That's in the eternal sphere. In time, we have no grips on actuality before it is manifested. You say, I'm going to do something. You may, but you may not.
Amen.
Depending upon what? Whether that thing has been actualized.
Right.
You see, some things God has revealed to us, and other things He hasn't.
Right.
Even Paul. Peter's occasion to say, I'm coming to you. And he didn't get there. He said, Paul? Paul didn't follow through on something he said? I like the expression of those that say, you know, according to God's will.
Amen.
If it be God's will.
Thank God.
This will happen. How many things we plan and then go that way? Huh? Paul said, don't y'all be throwing stones at me. The only yay yay is God. If God says it is. Even if before you see it, it is.
Right.
If I say it and God hasn't said it, amen, you better stop and take some reservations. Because that thing may come and it may not come.
Right.
How many of us have been disappointed by people who say, I'm going to do this, I'll be there, I'll be with you, ow, and that thing went the opposite way. And you know what? They may have even been very sincere in stating it. But the action of possibilities deals with the capacity and enablement of it. If God enables it, if God has enabled it, if God has decreed it, if God has designed it, it is.
Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So basically, there cannot be any distinguishing of actuality and possibility in the essence of looking in God's decree. What is possible is what is actual.
Yeah,
but in the essence of time, as it deals with us, we have no grips on actuality. So that's why possibility is just some faint hope out there.
Yeah.
Or some faint intention. And until that thing manifests, we don't know what it is. Hey, that's just the character and nature of abiding in the time capsule. Jesus told one occasion, he said, don't say what you're going to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not saying don't make no plans, but don't emphatically be so wedded to that thing until your man get blown when that thing doesn't happen.
Oh, I hear you.
So I tried. Oh, how I tried. But it didn't happen. It wasn't supposed to happen. It couldn't happen. It wasn't enabled. It didn't actualize in your mind because it wasn't actualized as an eternal object in God's decree.
Amen.
If you don't learn that,
that's it.
Life is going to beat you up.
Sure will.
Why are these things happening?
I'm mercy.
Because that's the way God designed it.
Amen.
God designed for me to lose my job, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that? For his purpose. You see, we've been taught that we sort of in the center and God is just an accommodator somewhere out there on the perimeter,
right.
Peripheral, and he's just feeding stuff into us as we need it, depending
right.
upon how we ask for it, or how good we live,
right.
or whatever. It's like God didn't have a plan.
Right.
I just stand back now and see what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
No way. The
eternal object is what is, and what is what's going to manifest.
It.
And it might not be to your liking sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so we get all jutting out of shape.
Yeah.
And my life is messed up, and I'm miserable, and I can't function because this and that happens. No. I had planned this. So, we don't operate on our plan. We operate on God's plan. Now, it's hard for us to understand. You know, everything out there in the universe is operating on God's plan. We get the earth is our plan. This little old dot called the earth, you have the whole universe out there. God's operate that rather nicely, would say. You get the earth, you say, no, we control what's happening here. No, you don't. You can't add one thing. Jesus will tell us, you can't add one thing. But nor can you take away. So your word about it is not going to help it. Thank God it's not going to hurt it. We've got to learn to pray and live on the basis of, Lord, your will is done. Because guess what? That's what's going to manifest. Not what you want. Life is not about what we want. Life is about what he has decreed. Follow this stuff. Oh my God, look at that time. I'm going to run just a little over this morning. Remember, just think back and say, it's only 12 o'clock, all right? Follow this now. In manifestation forms, are you with me? I'm in that third paragraph there. In manifestation forms, may appear to be very precise. That is in manifestation. In particular shades of color, for example. In this view, such are humanly construed as possibilities for ingestion into actual occasions of experiences, but in and of themselves are not actual. Just because you perceive or you think you see, and everything we think we see, I mean, you know, many things that we ingest are illusions. Follow this now. The same remains true if the colors are combined with shapes, sounds, and emotional tones. In other words, whatever the details of complex possibilities are, however fully such and defined, they remain simply as what? Possibilities. Say, but I saw that thing. It's not an actuality. It's a possibility, but only in the sense of what we construe to be plausible. Because what is possible is basically what is actual. Now follow this. As construed in their manifestations, until these forms characterize actual occasions of experiences, till we actually experience this, until they characterize actual occasions of experiences, they're not actualized. As far as manifestation is concerned, possibilities are not actual in God in this concept, but rather in human perceptions, but they have to be further viewed as actuality. In other words, you have to actually experience that thing in the human sense to actually come to the place of it being an actual object. What am I saying as I close? There are those of us sitting here and others that may listen to this morning. There are things that you are dependent upon. And your whole existence. And all your waking hours, efforts are geared to that thing. Emotionally, you're committed to it. And so your satisfaction and your happiness is dependent upon it. Don't do that.
Amen.
I like what Apostle Paul said on one occasion. He said, I have been abased and abound. And I've learned. He didn't always know. He said, I've learned to do what? To be that in whatsoever state I'm found. To be what?
Content.
Paul, are you crazy? I remember one time when you were shipwrecked. Paul said, I was content. A night in the day of the deep. Paul said, content. Huh? Power of countrymen. Your own kinfolk and people talking about you. Paul said, I was content. Hungry and thirsting, he said, to this very hour. Paul said, during that time, I was content. Y'all better hear me this morning. Because there's something horrific going to be coming down the pike. And we need to be spiritually set.
Right. Thank God. Hallelujah.
In prison, one time, they had a bell on his head, and somebody raised the bell and took the bell and still kept him in prison. Now, wouldn't that mess you up? They set your bell at $20,000, and somebody raised the $20,000, brought it down there, and paid the bell. They took the bell and still kept you. Huh? It happened to him. Beat with four stripes. Save one. 39 stripes. Paul said, I was content. I said, Paul is crazy. Take it off Saul of Lystra. Stone. And left for dead. Paul said, I was more than content. What do you mean? He said, because that happened over 14 years ago. And when I was in the flesh, out of the flesh, I don't know. But God called me up into the third heavens. And he showed me things that I can't talk about. It's not that it's unlawful per se, as the King James said. Amen. He said, but I just don't have the language to express what I saw. Eternal objects. Eternal objects. And when he got back, he said,
thank God.
Not only am I willing to suffer for him, I'm willing to die for him. Oh my God. Because what he saw was the essence of eternal objects. And what I saw dwarfed everything that's happening down here.
Yeah.
Now this is what I'm saying, and we'll take this up next week. This is what I'm saying. We're not saying for you to be, amen, careless and to be just completely oblivious to what's going on and stick your head in the sand, do all of that. That's not what this is for. Amen. Oh my God. But it's here to get us to focus on the actualities of actuality.
Yeah.
Eternal objects. Oh my God, that withdraws the fleeting moments of times and challenges that are coming against you. And so when these things come, amen, oh my God, if they transpire, amen, if they don't transpire, amen, amen, because there's a greater thing, oh my God, that transcends everything that's going on around me. I'm safe, but it's not in the essence of me, amen, having my mortgage paid. Oh my God, I'm safe, but it's not in the essence of the things that are around me. I'm safe and secure all along the way.
Glory to God.
Because my hope is a heavenly hope.
Thank God.
My expectations, my the essence of my expectation can never fail. I can never fall. Amen. I can never be disappointed. Because ultimately, even if that job, amen, doesn't materialize. Oh my God, and that contract doesn't come. Amen. Even if that which I'm praying for, amen, doesn't manifest. I know in whom I believe and I'm persuaded that he's able. Can you say? them against that day. Amen. That's the eternality of possibilities. Amen. That is actualized. And that I will rejoice in. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.